Chris on the match.
I'm lost for words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris
on the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
Time now for one of our favorite segments when we get to go to North Carolina and talk to one of our favorite people, Chris. Chris on the mat. How you doing, Chris?
Woo! Welcome to Flair Country. Yes, North Carolina, where it is nice and sunny, and we got a there's a overhead plane here. A little bit too low there, guys. Go up a little bit. Thank you.
it's nice and sunny and hot out here. I mean, when you talk the 90s in Logan, Utah, and you're up in the high elevations like we are, that's pretty warm. So we're in the low 90s today. But Chris, I want to congratulate you first. You've been on a little bit of a journey recently with weight loss. And how many pounds have you lost?
Well, I was hitting at 245 pounds Saturday. A friend of mine brought some scales, and we weighed me, and now I'm right now I'm at 205, and my goal by the end of June hopefully will be 189. So I'm dropping the weight as fast as I can. Need to drop.
Well, how's the knees and the shoulders, and because you've been struggling with that.
Knees and the shoulder are still giving me a lot of problems. Thanks for the knees for corrections and martial arts for all the years. I feel like I'm 75 years old, but the shoulder is going to give me problems with this new job that I'm having, carrying 100-pound pipes for diesel trucks. So it's just it's torn, but there's really nothing they can do. I don't know about the surgery part yet. Let's see.
Let's talk a little bit of wrestling, because I know you have been following very closely what has happened to one CM Punk and also Colt Cabana recently with this lawsuit. They actually won their lawsuit with the WWE doctor. Let's talk a little bit about the background of this. How much do you remember about the background?
Well, from what I remember on CM Punk, that the doctor, he was having a hard time with the injuries that he were, and the doctor that was prescribing him penicillin or giving him some different kind of medication, and instead of healing him, he basically was getting more and more injured. And this doctor, I think he got his degree out of a Cracker Jack box, and he wasn't, from what I understand, that CM Punk, when he had to sue him, I mean, the WWE, I mean, they got their best lawyers, but look who came out on top. Look who won the pony. It was CM Punk.
Yeah.
And that's basically, I know that it had to do with his injury. Him and Colt Cabana went on his show, and I guess they ruffled some feathers, but I'm glad that it turned out good for CM Punk. It's about time somebody stuck it.
I think one of the issues was that there was a growth that was on CM Punk's back, a lump that wasn't being treated correctly, according to CM Punk. I'm not a doctor. I do play one on the radio, but I am not a doctor. But the thing is that when you're dealing with infections, and I know this because I've had a few of mine in the past, and one kept me in the hospital for a week, one kept me in the hospital for 2.5 weeks, that you get MRSA, you get staph infections, and if they're not treated properly, that can be life-threatening. And I think that's what Punk and also AJ Lee were worried about when he basically quit the WWE, and he was very frustrated at the time, went on to Colt Cabana's podcast, and they were not very complimentary of the medical care they were receiving from the doctor, and he thought it was damaging him. And I also read that the doctor was suing Colt and Punk for $1 million per podcast download that they had downloaded. So it was going to be almost $400 million that this doctor was trying to go for.
Well, I'm reading here on the web that, you are correct about that part, about how they wanted to sue him for $1 million for every download. And good grief, that would have been. I mean, I've listened to that podcast before, and to that certain one that you're talking about. And yeah, I mean, it was a good podcast to listen to. And CM Punk opened up and he spilled everything that he had about the WWE and told them that he would do the jobs that they want, but there were certain pieces, people they wouldn't do it with. And then he was getting injured by Ryback, and the doctors just wouldn't help him. They would give him some kind of a medication, say, here, take this, and it was going to make it just making him worse. So I'm glad it turned out well for CM Punk. It's about, like I said, it's about time somebody stuck it to the WWE and says, okay, we're not going to take it anymore. Here you go. And nobody had to pay a thing. That was it. Nobody's out any money.
That's the best part. Maybe the lawyers, you know, they'll make a little money. So you know how that goes. But if you think back to when Punk was, when all this was going down before Punk quit the WWE, if you looked at CM Punk's picture at the time, he didn't look healthy to me. I remember watching him, and he had these dark circles under his eyes, and I was just attributing it to, you know, the travel schedule, and probably he hadn't been eating properly, and then, you know, he was tired. But evidently his body was reacting to all this, and he needed some time off that the WWE evidently was not aware, and maybe they just said, no, you don't get time off. We want you on this date here. We want you on this date here. They have to be there if they're going to make money. So I'm really happy for CM Punk at this time.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, he don't have to worry about the WWE anymore. He can go wherever he wants to. I understand that he's supposed to be at All In with Cody Rhodes. I guess he's going to do, you know, maybe sign some posters or something like that. Some people say that he's going to get back into the ring and go up against Kenny Omega. Now, that would be a heck of a thing to see. I wouldn't mind seeing Punk going to the ring with Kenny Omega, but I doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah, I do too. The event that Punk's going to be at is outside of the All In. It's the same time frame, but it's kind of like the WrestleCon that was taking place down in New Orleans. It's going to be a side event, different promoter that is doing all this. But don't be surprised if he doesn't show up and does something, maybe announcing or makes just an appearance at All In. I don't think he's going to perform, though.
Well, I really don't think he'll perform, but you know, as soon as they all see him, they're going to start doing that chant. He can bring the house down with the chance of CM Punk, and I can't wait for his next fight for UFC and see what that happens. Maybe it won't last 30 seconds. Hopefully it won't last 30 seconds, but I wish CM Punk the best in mixed martial arts. Lord knows I've seen enough of it, and hopefully he wins this one. And the man's not hurting for money. So what is it? No, the man's not hurting for money. I mean, he's a penny pincher just like Mick Foley and Owen Hart and everyone else. They kept a dollar, and they'll break it in two just to make sure they have one part left.
There's also one other news item I wanted to kind of get your opinion on, because as most people that listen to the pod, you and I both grew up on Memphis, Tennessee wrestling, but a star from Memphis wrestling that also had a fairly long career in the WWE, Brian Christopher, Too Sexy, is in trouble again. What's going on with Too Sexy?
Well, it looks like Too Sexy had too much to drink, or he was not working too much, because he has been arrested for theft under a thousand, not paying a hotel bill. All the things to do, Brian Christopher Lawler has made the Lawler name famous again, this time not for not paying a hotel bill. Son of legend. Okay, it says here, he was at the Hampton Inn of the Peabody Place in downtown Memphis. He has been theft of services. He's been arrested for theft of services, $802 room, $1,000 theft of services, $1,000 or less. and Terry Teague. I don't know that name. Do you?
Not right offhand, no.
I don't think he's a wrestler.
Uh-huh.
But, boy, I tell you what, he's got a smile on his face I'm looking at right now. Ooh.
he needs some dental work, huh? Well, you know, he was badly injured in a fight with an ex-TNA star. And he had to actually have surgery from that not too long ago. So maybe that's still some of the leftovers from that.
Well, if it's leftovers, I don't think they want to put it back in the refrigerator. Ooh, my God.
Ooh, well, we wish him the best. You hate to hear somebody that that has had success and then they're struggling later on in life. I just brace my heart sometimes. But you also sent me a video link the other day to, I think it was Sammy Callahan calling out Bully Ray. What's going on with that?
Okay, Sammy Callahan was on Bully Ray's show, Busted Open. And Sammy was going about how he's going to take on Pentagon Jr. for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. It's kind of odd because he don't have it. So I think something had gone on with Sammy. I don't know, but I know that Sammy was talking about how nobody wants to face him, that he's faced the best and he can beat everyone that he wants. And Bully says, well, how would name, give me a name of a person that you could draw money with. And Sammy says, how about you? And then that's when Bully Ray went off. He says, I will beat you like a redheaded stepchild. I will slap you into tomorrow. Don't you disrespect a Hall of Famer. And then the cussing just went berserk. And some of a work, I think it's a work, but I don't know.
You know, that it probably is, because Bully announced on ROH TV just a couple of weeks ago that he was going to unretire. And I haven't been able to watch ROH this past week, but to see where that goes. So it's probably something in that line, because ROH and Impact and Lucha seem to have come together to kind of promote each other a little bit more. So I'm kind of thinking that might be a work, but it's going to be a good work to watch. Sammy's a talent, although he has injured a couple of people in the ring with some botched moves.
Sammy Callahan is a good wrestler. He's good on the mic. He knows what he's doing, but Sammy is reckless. When he took the baseball bat and hit Eddie Edwards with it in TNA and basically split him open like a cantaloupe.
Oh, but, that was nasty.
Yes, it was. And I mean, some professional wrestlers and managers were so upset about what he had done. I mean, I listened to one podcast, and he says, I cannot believe that this man was allowed to do this on national TV. And it looked like a crime scene after it was over with. And I never got to see it. I never got to saw the episode, or I never got to saw the spot. So I don't really know. But
I watched it, and it was an accident. I mean, these people need to get a life. Sammy's not going to go out there and intentionally hurt Eddie. They did a spot with the chair on Eddie's head, and when he hits the chair with the head, the bat bounces off and then hits Eddie in the eye, right above the eye. And it was a horrible, it could have been worse than it was. And I'm going to defend him just a little bit, because they had a similar situation in the WWE with AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. If you will remember that they were in a match and Shinsuke took a chair and threw it at AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
And that chair bounced and came right back up and hit AJ right underneath the eyeball and cut him open there.
Oh, that's true. Yes. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Things happen, guys.
Yeah, things happen all the time. Just like that guy from what was it? It was a AAA. Well, it really wasn't an accident. I mean, he did it to himself. I mean, he lit himself on fire, then jumped off the top rope.
Yeah, he's catching a lot of flack for that.
Yeah, I mean, of all the stupid things to do, you set yourself on fire, and you don't think, hey, back in high school, they told me the flames were kind of, you know, that's combustible, and plus with oxygen, it just makes it worse. But this will be okay. It'll be a good time.
It'll be just fine, won't it? It'll be just fine. We won't get burned. We won't have third-degree burns over 40% of our body. No.
No, I mean, okay, yeah, it's choreographed. Yes, it's fun to watch. But dang it, something is going to happen. These guys have accidents all the time. I mean, everyone get look at Charlotte Flair. That girl right there had her teeth busted out.
Mm-hmm.
Can't tell me these guys and girls, they don't get hurt. They've had shoulders, they've had knees, they've had everything. But Sami Callihan, he's a good wrestler. Yes, he is, but he wants to be the new version of Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's what I'm getting. That's what I see. He wants to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. He wants to give the middle finger to the PG era, and he wants to bring back the new attitude. Well, I'm sorry, Sammy. It just ain't going to happen. The PG era has taken over. It's not like it used to be. So, good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, well, that's true. I think, though, that you're starting to see some promotions that are trying to get that niche. And we actually talk about that in our interview with Zanka from StealRealToUs.com. We talk about some of the smaller promotions and whether the blood, the guts, and the wild spots will ever come back to mainstream professional wrestling. So if you get a chance to hear that, I think you'd really enjoy that too. So, well, Chris, I want to thank you so much. And, you know, we've got the Money in the Bank coming up. You're going to be – you got any favorites in Money in the Bank?
Well, my pick for Money in the Bank, and if they will do it, please, WWE, let Finn Balor win Money in the Bank. Let him win it. He needs it. Let him win Money in the Bank. I hope and pray that happens. I really do. I hope he wins Money. For the women's, I'm going to pick Bayley one more time. I'm going to pick Bayley to win Money in the Bank. I keep picking her every time, and every time she comes up like a goose egg, zero. But I'm going to pick her up. I'm going to pick her one more time to win Money in the Bank. Let's see what happens. But we shall see. But
Father's Day night is going to be the 17th of June. Money in the Bank, and we'll do some stuff right after Money in the Bank. And we'll talk more about that with Chris on the mat. Chris, thanks so much for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash.
It's been an honor, guys. Thank you so much for having me on today.
More trash is on the way on TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Oh, he's got him in a subatomic headlock. Ow, that's got to hurt.
Actually, I can tell you from experience, it does hurt.
You were a wrestler?
No, just married.
It's time to take out the trash.
Can I ask both of you guys a question that I've been thinking about recently? First of all, I want to look outside of the WWE because we're all wrestling fans. If you had to pick one or two talents that are out there right now that have the potential to become pretty big stars, maybe moving to the WWE, maybe some of the younger guys and independents or the smaller promotions, who would you pick at this time as one or two of your favorite wrestlers outside of the WWE?
I'll let you go first because my two guys that I was saying last year are both in NXT now. So.
Oh, that's fine too. Yeah. Zane?
Well, I would probably say, you know, somebody who's been killing it on the, I guess you'd still call it independent circuit, is Cody Rhodes. You know, he didn't like the way the WWE was what they were doing to him and the way that they were handling him. And so he said, piss off. And he left. And I don't know, you know, if it's about the money or what, maybe he's not making as much as he was in the WWE, but it looks like he's having fun and he's doing a good job and he's trying to build, you know, some of these other promotions up.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Think about what he's doing right now with that All In, you know, the ROH. I mean, that's pretty cool. He's putting up his own money And, you know, they said, you know, you can't sell out an arena. And he says, bullshit, we can't. Watch us. And so he put his money where his mouth is, and, you know.
30 minutes.
And
boom.
I think good for him. And I don't know, maybe he'll be back in the WWE one day. Maybe,
yeah.
You know, like a lot of guys, they leave and they come back. It seems like they all do. They, you know, they all make amends with Vince, and they all come back. And, I mean, you never thought in your life you'd see Bret Hart back in the WWE ring, but, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, there he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they all come back.
Yeah.
They all do.
Eventually, yeah. That money talks.
Yeah. My money
I would say,
has...
Character-wise, there's a guy in Ring of Honor, and maybe this is biased because he's from New England as well, but Vinny Marcel, basically he goes by the Horror King.
Yeah,
his character,
yeah.
I find fascinating.
Yeah.
I like that. It's taken a new twist on a lot of that stuff, and it's kind of Bray, not Bray Wyatt-esque, but it's just he's got that creepy aura about
him,
and
yeah.
I think aura is something that's missing in a lot of guys. He's not the biggest guy out there, and he doesn't, you know, do backflips and crazy shit, but his aura, I think, is something that could you could eventually see going somewhere, somebody like that. I think someone who needs more seasoning, but I'm pretty high on myself, is a guy from New Japan, Adam Hangman Page. He's good.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes again. Yeah, he could definitely go back and kill. I mean, there's the big names that everyone talks about, like Omega. I mean, he would kill it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of talent out there. It's just a matter of them getting the right booking, really.
I bet you were thinking about Ricochet when you were talking about one of your guys being in the NXT right now. Ricochet is really good, isn't he?
Ricochet is amazing. He's somebody that is just he's a phenomenal athlete. I mean, I don't know what there is to say about the guy. I mean, he makes stuff look. I get out of bed sometimes and my knees pop. And I'm sore. This dude's flying through the air, lands on his knees like it's no big deal. And it's just, it's amazing some of the things that these guys can do with their bodies.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ricochet was one. I'm a big Tommaso guy. I loved him. Gargano, I was a big fan of on the indies. Johnny Wrestling. NXT is basically killing it. Can I ask you guys a question as somebody who has a podcast?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Do you guys think Triple H gets too much credit? Do you think it's more of like a, I don't know, this is more of a baseball analogy, but a George Steinbrenner thing where he just has the most money so he can garner all the best talent out there? Or do you think he's handpicking the right guys to move into NXT?
Well, do you mind if I go first, Dave?
Yeah, you go right ahead.
Well, I'll tell you my opinion on NXT, and I think, you know, maybe it answers your question, maybe it doesn't, but hopefully I'll go off on my soapbox and we can decipher whether it does or not. But I think NXT was created to put the indies out of business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the WWE and Vince McMahon, he wants to be the king, and he wants to rule the world of professional wrestling. And NXT was created to, I personally feel, to destroy the indies. You know, I love NXT. And I think it's a great product. It's 1 hour long. It's got some pretty good stories. And you know, their pay-per-views are phenomenal. I mean, that pay-per-view they did before WrestleMania was better than WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
The matches were better. There was better quality. There was better wrestling. And I think that Triple H and Vince, they're not idiots. And they created NXT to destroy the independent circuit. Whether or not that'll happen, I don't think so, because you've got companies like ROH and stuff that are still hanging on. But when guys like Ricochet come over and Adam Cole and so many of these other talent come back and come to NXT, you know, that's got to sting the independent circuit quite a bit.
So my take on it was that I definitely think they needed a farm system type deal where they wanted to get people more into the WWE style of wrestling, you know, but where the hard camera is, all this, always look this way, entrances. But the other way I was looking at it too, which I'd like to hear you guys' take on, is I thought it was more of a way to appease the almost, I'm using hand quotes again, you guys can't see me, Attitude Era fans, where it was kind of, they knew what they were doing with the PG. They saw some of the backlash online where people weren't that into it. And then NXT comes up out of nowhere, and they're giving people wrestling again with, you know, just straightforward storylines, good guy, bad guy. And I thought it was almost a way to appease the fans in more of our age bracket.
Yeah,
and I like that. I mean, you know, see, that's a good way to go, because I've always tried to think of it as from a negative point of view, you know. and because, you know, you see Vince and the way he does things, and he's a businessman, and he's not stupid. Yep.
You'd get on great with my co-host.
So that's where I always go with it, is it's like, yep, what the hell are you doing, Vince? You know, it's like, what are you doing, WWE? Why are you doing this? And Dave has to rein me in, because Dave comes from a media background.
And Dave's
in sales, and he's in, you know, these type of things where he says, hey, you know, well, they've got to produce what the majority of people want.
Yeah.
Or else they're not going to make money. And in the end, what drives us all?
Right.
Yeah. You know, money talks, and my money needs a bigger vocabulary, by the way. But, you know, you mentioned a name when you were just talking a few minutes ago. You mentioned Tommaso Ciampa.
Yep.
And when he was with Ring of Honor, I was such a huge fan, especially that heel character he uses. And then when he goes over to NXT, he's, you know, he's the good guy. And I was going, I'm so confused. And boy, when they switched him, I just about went out of my gourd. Especially
he's on another level.
Yeah, he is. He's not the biggest guy, but he's got the good look. He's got that mean. Just when he looks mean, that dude looks mean. You know what I'm talking about. So
when he's got the it thing, the it factor. Like you said, there's not much to him. Like he doesn't, you know, he's not flashy. He's not that. But he's got that it factor.
Yeah.
It's his attitude. And that's something that a lot of these guys could, you know, almost learn from, is a guy like that, is it's all in the attitude. Like a Samoa Joe, he doesn't have to say anything. You just see it on his face. It's all about the attitude that they portray as heels. And I know that this has been beaten to the ground, but a lot of the heels for a while there were just trying to be the cool heel, as people would say.
Yeah,
these guys just want to be heels. Like Tommaso just wants to be hated on Twitter.
Yeah,
in the ring, and he's great at it. He keeps it kayfabe, which is something I appreciate.
You know, brought me up. About 2 years ago, I was on a panel discussion at the Salt Lake Comic Con about professional wrestling, and I asked Marty the Moth about kayfabe and whether he thought that now that it's quote out that we're just talking entertainment and storytelling, how does someone become a heel? And he said it's very difficult when you're trying to do all these things in the ring that get heel heat. And then afterwards, you're talking to fans, and they're talking to you and slapping you on the back. Oh, man, that was a great spot, but, you know, you're such a nice guy. He said he found that very difficult. But I agree with you.
I just had a conversation with an indie guy named Magnum CK.
Uh-huh.
We had him on the podcast because I found him. He had the voodoo curse put on him by Papa Shango, so I always wanted to know what that was like. He touched on that. He said, being a heel, that he tries to give it a moment. Like, he tries to, if fans come up to him, he goes, there's a fine line, there's a fine line between being a male reproductive organ.
Uh-huh.
And, see, I caught myself.
Oh, thank you.
And a heel. And he was saying that you know, if it's a really little kid, he's not going to shoo him away. He goes, if somebody's with their dad and there's, you know, He goes, it's just a line you got to walk. He goes, you can't be a white meat baby face when a kid comes up to you after you just low blowed a guy for a victory. He's like, being a dad, it gives off the wrong impression that that's okay to do. It's okay to, you know, do this to win. And he was saying, I liked his take on it, where you don't have to be an outright jerk. He goes, but, you know, play the field game. See what it's like and let them know that you're a person. Yes, it's a show. Yes, but, you know, I'm not going to take a photograph with a smiley face and thumbs up.
Yeah, I hear you, man. So,
but he'll take an angry photo with you.
So I want to talk to some you, because I've, you know, following you on Instagram and some things like that, and I know the current of most wrestling fans today, and I'll mention one name and see where you go with it. Roman Reigns. I just want you to go with this. When I mentioned Roman Reigns, what would you tell somebody that just was a casual fan or even a serious fan? Well, what would you say about Roman Reigns right now?
This might shock you because I post a lot of, you know, memes about him, but I'm a fan of his work. I think the guy, I lose a lot of people when I start this. I think the guy has it. He's got the look. He's got the in-ring capabilities. He really is. I mean, he can go in the ring when given the right opponent. And by saying that, I mean, like, he obviously some guys in there you're going to have trouble having a good match with, like a Big Show or even a Randy Orton. I mean, Randy Orton's another guy who had it all, but he just didn't mesh with certain opponents. But you wouldn't say the guy can't go in the ring. So when it comes to Roman Reigns, I see what they see in him. But I also see the biggest heel that they could have in years, and if they just flip him, because he has that cockiness that people want to hate, and he's not the best, you know, AJ Styles type wrestler. He's not. So if he plays off that cocky, like, you know, I'm better than everybody just by punching people in the mouth, they could have a great heel because people want to hate him now, it seems, anyway. But yeah, if you look just my memes, you probably think I hate the guy, but I try to post I try to post 50-50 memes. I don't let my personal, if it's funny, I post it. If it's a pro-Roman meme, I'll post it. If it's a negative Roman meme, I'll post it.
But you know, you mentioned that, and I think Zane and I think you and I talked about this very thing on our last podcast about Roman Reigns. And what a great heel he should have been 2 years ago. I mean, to be honest with you, he would be one of their biggest heels ever. So then that kind of brings up the subject of one Brock Lesnar. I'm not a fan. I never have been a fan of Brock Lesnar. I want to get your opinion on how they've handled Brock.
I think it's fun because people really are aggravated. And seeing that kind of stuff stir all that emotion, I think it's a good thing. I think people are so aggravated with him at this point that if somebody, even if Roman Reigns beats him, I've seen people who comment the most vile stuff towards Roman Reigns on my page say, just let Roman get the title already. So it's like WWE's plan may have finally worked, but they pushed it for so long. So, again, Brock Lesnar just brings up that emotion in wrestling fans because of his schedule. And again, if I could only work once every 3 months and get paid the kind of money he is, I don't fault the guy for that. But being a wrestling fan, I mean, the Seth Rollins character is obviously something more that I enjoy, where it's, you know, the fighting champion thing. But yeah, I mean, I think Brock Lesnar's fun. I like that he's a beast. He's basically Thanos of WWE, where he's unbeatable, and he just kind of shows up, kills your favorite guy, and then leaves for a while.
Wow, that's awesome. See, that's a great take, because Dave and I are so sour on Brock that we both agree on Brock that I really like. That's a refreshing opinion, because I've never thought of it from that point of view of where they may be doing this on purpose just to stir people.
Again, I'm with you guys. I'm over it. But I can see, I'm trying to give you the perspective of, I can see where they're going. And again, he's a huge name. I mean, he's crossed promotions with the UFC, he's a household name, and they don't have a lot of that. So I kind of see where they're going with it.
But wouldn't it be fun?
I agree with you guys, believe it or not.
Wouldn't it be fun?
I'm ready for this to be over.
Yeah, wouldn't it be fun to see Bobby Lashley and him go at it in the ring? I think that would be just a hoot. But yeah, that's fantastic.
How do you feel about Bobby Lashley's current character, though?
I hate
it. Too much mic time?
I just want to say hello to my sisters, Kathy, Jessica, Francis. I love you.
Okay, good. I'm with you, because I'm a big Bobby Lashley fan.
Me
but
too.
They got to make him an ass kicker. They can't be doing this.
I love you.
They go either really cheesy baby face.
I love you.
Or really chicken-ass heel. So it's like that formula only works for certain guys.
Yeah,
Bobby Lashley just needs to be, you know, he can be a good guy, but just let him go out there and basically let him be your Roman Reigns, where Roman doesn't talk that much. He just, you know, beats people up.
I love you.
I man, you're preaching to the choir. Hallelujah, you know. So,
And that's what we've talked about multiple times is you know, if they're going to put Bobby Lashley against Brock Lesnar, it's like, let's block out an hour for a pay-per-view, make it a no-holds-bar, no disqualification. And if those guys bust each other open, and if those guys just tear that arena to pieces,
yep.
And just let them rip each other apart, and that would just be the match of the year, you know. Yeah.
it could be a great one, man. It's probably gonna be Roman taking it off of Brock, but again, it's a guy like a Bobby Lashley or like a Braun Strowman where they've built Brock up to be this beast. It's got to be another beast to take him out, in my opinion.
Exactly.
I think it should be a Bobby Lashley or a Braun or somebody who can still instill the fear in the other. I'm talking in storyline wise, in the other guys. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Oh, that guy beat Brock. I'm getting out of his. Like when Braun broke the ladder on Raw, you know, and Bobby Roode's face sold it. It was perfect.
Yeah.
That fear is something that I think if Roman beats Brock, it's his fourth or fifth chance. It's not going to have that same effect for me personally,
uh-huh.
Even though I'm not against it. Like I said, I want to see the title more. I want to see it in more storylines. So, but yeah, I'm with you guys. It's going to be a Bobby Lashley or even a Braun for me. I think a Braun cash-in could be kind of funny.
Well, that's fantastic,
yeah.
Guys.
Well, great. Well, this has been really awesome. I hope that, you know, your brain doesn't hurt from us asking all these questions, because we've just been so excited to get, you know, another wrestling fan like yourself that does podcasts and does things like that on the show, that I'm really glad you responded to us and given us the time to talk to you. And,
you know, thank you guys. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's been great. And I hope that Dave's enjoyed himself.
Oh, heck yeah. I've been enjoying myself. And by the way, I told Zane this earlier today. I have in my hands right now tickets to WWE Live SummerSlam Heatwave Tour, Saturday, June 23rd, 2018, Salt Lake City. Zane and I will be there.
There you go.
We're ready, baby.
I'm awesome,
but you know, I've been trying to get an interview with somebody from the WWE, going through all the hoops, and you know how
yep.
difficult that is. And I told him I had the radio station.
I've got friends in WWE who can't talk to me on.
Yeah, that is just amazing.
On tape.
Yeah. Well, that. But hey, thank you so much. And I think it was about a year ago. I don't know if you tweeted it or your partner talking about our podcast. You tweeted out, "Try Turnbuckle Trash. You won't be disappointed." And we thank you
yep.
very much for that. It was very, very nice of you.
No, again, the way I look at it, it's a wrestling community. I think there's room for everybody. And again, some people are in the Ring of Honor, some people are in the WWE. Let everybody pick and choose and have fun. I don't see the point in holding. That's why I was glad when you guys asked me to come on, because I enjoy spreading the wrestling community, making it into one thing, not a whole bunch of people just hating on each other. I just made a post about it because I see people attacking each other all the time. It's like, why?
Why?
You guys, awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So thank you
so
much.
If you guys ever need another uninformed wrestling opinion, I'm your guy.
Well, thank you. Thank you again. And your memes are great. And I get several laughs out of them. Several. I mean, the Joey Ryan meme. When you find out she's a Joey Ryan fan.
Dude, that didn't need to be a meme. That could have just been a photo. I might have ruined it by putting words on it.
I talked Dave into joining Instagram not too long ago, and I said, the first page you need to follow is still Real Out. I said, because I said, it's great. And I enjoy following your social media posts and tell your partners that they do a great job on your website, and we'd love to share, you know, your podcast on our website as well, and like you said, just help everybody in the wrestling community out, and if you guys are
just a heads up, our podcast is more of a hard R.
Oh.
And that's fine.
That's okay.
I focus more on the funny than anything, and
yeah.
when my funny is not everybody funny, so.
Oh, don't.
That's
don't.
Okay, and like, so, we, I mean, if you're okay with us giving it a chance and just putting a warning on it, we'd love to share your content as well. And,
yeah.
Awesome.
But we don't want to cause any grief between
you know, there is no grief at all, man. Like I said, it's community. Let's have fun together. And again, it's just fun talking to other wrestling fans. I mean, you guys, one of you, I think, is in Utah. Are you both in Utah?
Yeah, we're both in Utah.
How cool is it to be connecting with other wrestling fans, basically, you know, all over the U.S.?
It's fantastic.
I mean, I have a huge following in India, apparently, that I didn't even know about. So
that's fantastic.
It's just crazy to see.
Well, Dave, why don't you go ahead and close us out, if you don't mind. And we've kept Zank on the phone for almost an hour, and he's probably got a life outside of professional wrestling that he wants to get back to. And
I got an elbow drop on my kid.
Yeah, and I have a 5-year-old that's tugging at my shirt, going, Dad. So,
thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Zank. Have a great day, and thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate
you guys
it.
Keep it up.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
Joined by Zane. Zane, you can now say hi.
Hi.
So say, Zane, you totally mailed your hello.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Mr. Exciting here.
Dude, I almost jumped in. Like I said, our names are so similar. I was almost like, hi.
I will beat you like a redheaded stepchild. I will slap you into tomorrow. Don't you disrespect the Hall of Famer. And then the cussing just went berserk.
So the day I was born, literally, apparently, Hulk Hogan was on TV and my dad was watching it with me. More of the icing, and he's the cake.
Ooh, that's cake. Neat. We love cake. So
Don't get Dave started on food, because he might go off on a tangent.
Well, if it's leftovers, I don't think they want to put it back in the refrigerator. Ooh.
I just about lost my lunch when he did that. But of course, Zane knows I love my lunch. But anyway, guys, I love my lunch.
This doctor, I think he got his degree out of a Cracker Jack box. And every time she comes up like a goose egg, zero.
When I really started getting a respect for her is when I did about, you know, I took 6 training classes. I got in the ring. I did all that. That's where the respect came from for the guys and everything. And that's when I really started appreciating, you know, the athleticism and everything else. But being 5'8 and 175, I realized quick, I'm not going to be able to get anywhere that I wanted to get to at the time. So